God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. And God said, let there be light. Because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I think I said this the other day, that politics is part performance. It's acting. It's showmanship. I think that's maybe, I don't know, when did that become the case? I wasn't alive to see how the kings acted back in the day, and I've read about how George Washington was very, very quiet at his first inaugural address, and how people complained that they couldn't hear him, and that was a style he chose. He wanted to display humility, and I, from what I've read and about him and from him, people who worked with him, he seemed like a really godly guy. So when did it become performative? Well, probably when media became something other than people passing letters amongst one another or long-form debates. The Lincoln-Douglas debates are often thought of as a heyday of intellectual rigor and real debates, and they were hours long, and the gentlemen disagreed vehemently with one another, but they were not disagreeable, as it were. So maybe it's when audio media came about, and a face didn't always follow a name. And maybe it was audio sound bites. And certainly now in the video era, it's become more performative. And of course, Jesus is the guy who first took the word actor and applied it to people in power, hypocrites. I mean, he there's some reason to believe that Jesus may have helped his father, his earthly father, his dad, Joseph, build a theater complex, and so that Jesus may have been exposed to actors. And so he may have used that metaphor to describe people who are pretending. He also called the Pharisees whitewashed tombs, and they weren't really tombs, and they weren't really actors, but hypocrites. And Jesus warns us against hypocritical behaviors. He warns us to be careful, to not show righteousness, to be seen by others. For if we're not careful, we will have received a reward in full from our Father who's in heaven. That is, hey, people saw you acting righteous. There's your full reward. Instead, he tells us to pray privately to our Father in heaven who's unseen. And our Father's unseen will give us a reward. And maybe that reward is hearing us. And when we pray in accordance with God's will, and we have true faith that God can and will do a thing, we're told that we can even move mountains. So that phrase, hypocrite, when did Jesus first use that? Biblically, I guess we could go back and find the scripture and verse where we first heard that phrase. I say that because there was massive, massive hypocrisy going on with King Charles in the White House yesterday. And the president has business to do. There's the business of state. And we have to pretend. The people at the State Department would say we have to pretend, and President Trump certainly has goals in mind for our relationship with the UK. He has a harder job than I'll ever know, more complex than I'll ever understand. I'll never get near that level of complexity or pressure. So easy enough for me to commentate on it, and easy enough for me to call out the logs in other people's eyes while ignoring the forest in my own. Those are things we should remind ourselves of. But it was acting. It was hypocrisy. And it begins with the staging. And look, I've been to Gettysburg. I took my family there, my young daughter. One of the most amazing occasions I ever had was taking my daughter to Gettysburg. I'll talk about that, I guess, in a personal note today. I don't want to get too distracted. But man, if you've never been there, to that battlefield and seen the reenactments, or just seen the scope of the loss, I would encourage you to do it. So with King Charles in the White House, President Trump had the United States Army Old Guard Fife and Drums Corps ready to welcome King Charles. And they're marching in impressive form. Fox News ran a split screen of President Trump awkwardly watching. There's not much else he could do. So there were a lot of places who called them the Redcoats. TMZ called them the Redcoats. That's not what they are. It was just the U.S. Army Old Guard Fife and Drum Corps. And you could see why the president would do that. You know, there is that time we declared independence, fought a pretty bloody war because we wanted to be able to express ourselves religiously, and also because the king wanted to treat us like subjects but not provide any real protection, none of the benefits of being a royal subject. From hence flows the phrase, taxation without representation. Who were our representatives? And these behaviors still continue from time to time. I'll never forget getting a nasty gram from the state of California back in the day when I was a tech guy. I just left Microsoft, and God had granted me a bit of a reputation. I got involved in doing some consulting for movie studios and talent agencies. And I'd given a presentation down there and presented a business plan to one of the movie studios. And I got a note from the state of California saying, hey, you know, you spent the night, you earned some money here. We need you to pay your taxes on that. And so I wrote them in writing and said, I will absolutely do that the moment you introduce me to my state representative. I just have some questions about that. So just tell me, introduce me to my state representative in the California legislature, and I will pay this tax on the spot. They never wrote back. They can't. They understand that's taxation without representation. So if you get one of those franchise tax fees, you should try that. Introduce me to my state representative. So this stuff still happens, but we also still get the acting. This is not King Charles acting. It's other people acting. So Democrats, who just a few months ago astroturfed the No Kings marches, greeted King Charles with a standing ovation.
Members of Congress, I have the high privilege and distinct honor of presenting to you His Majesty Charles III.
That's funny. It's funny if you watch the video because you can see Nancy Pelosi standing up and other members of Congress who say, no kings. And there's a king. And they stand and applaud. There were people on the Democrat side who had their phones out taking pictures of the king while he kinged. No kings. Hey, look, a king. I love the king. Can I get a picture with the king? Because no kings acting. Hypocrisy. Opium. Opium for the masses. It's all good. Washington, D.C. is very normal. It's all good. After all, we just had a state event and the King of England came and we have a good, solid partnership. It's a good Christian nation. I feel good about it. Acting. That's the goal. Now, surprisingly, and I mean it, kind of. Sort of sorry, not sorry, sort of surprisingly, not surprisingly, King Charles promoted the Christian faith in his speech to Congress.
And, Mr. Speaker, for many here, and for myself, the Christian faith is a firm anchor and daily inspiration that guides us, not only personally.
Okay, he also called it an inspiration. It inspires us. He also said that. Now, Randy, would you please recue that? So I want to have Randy play this again, and I want you to listen for the word A, where a devout Christian would place the word the. Okay, roll that again, please, Randy.
And, Mr. Speaker, for many here, and for myself, the Christian faith is a firm anchor and daily inspiration that guides us, not only personally.
Okay, A, firm anchor. Just one of them. That was a written speech typed on paper. Now, I don't know about you, but if someone wrote a speech for me as a Christian who tries to be devout, who tries to abide, who tries to let the Holy Spirit sanctify, and the phrase was, Christianity is a firm anchor, I might say, hey, strike A and put the. Because that's what it is. It's the firm anchor. It's the only firm anchor. It's the only rock on which a wise person would build their home. That's it. But he said a firm anchor and an inspiration. You know, Islam considers Jesus, the Quran writes of Jesus as a great prophet. Not the Son of God. He's not what he said he was. He's not God himself. Jesus said, I am the Father are one. And if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But he wasn't that. He was just a great prophet. Not as great as Muhammad, but pretty good. Kind of an inspiring philosopher. The Buddhists believe Jesus is a pretty darn good philosopher. I believe Hinduism teaches that he was a pretty darn spanking good philosopher. He was a liar, according to Hinduism and Buddhism. He was a liar, according to Islam. Jesus was a liar. He isn't the way, the truth, and the life. He's a dude who says some fancy, dancy stuff. But he's an inspiration. Maybe an anchor. Why is Prince Charles pretending, King Charles pretending? See, in the UK, Christians have to be an advocate for their faith, otherwise their government school leaders will decide to cancel Easter.
Who's the king of Eastleigh?
Jesus!
Who's the king of
Norway?
Who's the king of Britain?
Jesus!
Who's the king of Saudi Arabia?
Jesus!
Who's the king of Africa?
Jesus!
Who's the king of Afghanistan?
Those are parents protesting outside their school because the headmaster decided to cancel Easter and have Refugee Week instead, and Christian parents were done with it. Now, this thing here, this audio is from back in 1993. Listen closely to it. This is a King Charles speech, included the promotion of Islam, but worse.
Islam is part of our past and our present in all fields of human endeavor. It has helped to create modern Europe. It is part of our own inheritance, not a thing apart. Islam can teach us today a way of understanding and living in the world which Christianity itself is the poorer for having lost.
Wow. Wow. We Christians are the poorer for having lost what Islam has. Wow. 1993. So King Charles says Christianity is an anchor. It is a form of inspiration that guides us. Christians say Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father but through him. God's word is not changeable, not changing. It's the foundation upon which we build our homes. Jesus Christ is inspiring, to be sure, but he is also not just the guide, he is the way. Not a guide, he is the way. And the Bible is the description of how we have a horizontal relationship with one another, governed by a vertical relationship with God Almighty. Why did King Charles feel the need to come and pretend to respect Christianity? Because King Charles understands the political game involves opium for the masses and that everything is A-OK. We'll come back on the Disciples' View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Been
kind of in a state of prayer, not kind of, significantly in this state of prayer. It's the first time I'm going to talk about it here. And that is that we do this stuff on YouTube, and this isn't, please don't view this as carping. I'm praying to God about why. Why am I doing this? It's not any secret to me that the organization that runs YouTube knows who I am. They don't like me. And on the very first day I came back to the YouTube platform after a long time away, this proves to me this theory I have that they're really going to do everything they can to kind of put me in a corner or limit the success we have there. So why do I care? Two reasons. Number one, YouTube is by far the world's largest podcast platform. That's why I put all this effort into it out of this TV studio God built. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/@ The Todd Herman Show. We just posted a bunch of stuff this week. So number one, it's that. And that's where the young people are getting news about Jesus and facts about Jesus. This is a real thing. It's going on. And I do this to put God's word at the center of news because I spent so long as a talk show host putting my own word at the center of it. God forgive me. So I'm on the YouTube platform. Secondly, because of the business model, far second to the word of God. And the very first day I came back to the platform, I made sure I didn't say any of the trigger words. You know, for a while on YouTube, you weren't allowed to use the word murder, so people said unalived. Even if you're telling a news story, you can't say the word rape. You have to say sexual assault. It's a ridiculously censorious platform, which is a reason it's very difficult for me to place any clips there in any good conscience. You know, here I'm completely uncensored, other than abiding by the Bible. So I've been praying to God, do you want me to succeed in this platform? Or am I succeeding in a way that's sufficient for you? Is this the audience you want me to have? And I've been asking him for signs. Not signs and wonders, but signs. Indicate his will, make it manifest for me. And so in this pursuit, funny thing. You know who Russell Brand is? We played a clip of Russell Brand the other day. He's an actor. Now he's a commentator. About a year ago, he was baptized in the Christian faith. I did a video welcoming him. We talked about it here on the show. He asked what he should expect as a new Christian. And on the show, we said, hey, don't expect your problems to go away. And being saved is not the same thing as having a relationship with Jesus. And we grow relationship with Jesus over time. Justification is quick. Sanctification can take a long time. The great Apostle Paul was still being sanctified towards the end of his life. He was still saying, what I ought do, I don't, and what I shouldn't do, I do. What a wretched man I am. That was the Apostle Paul. Ongoing sanctification. So we posted this video, and my response to Russell Brand being unable to find the piece of scripture he said was most relevant to him while he was in court facing rape charges. And boom, the video takes off. Boom. People from all over commenting on it. Some people who apparently watched the video coming away saying, you convicted that man of being a charlatan. And I did nothing of the sort. I said, let's check him by his fruits. So he wrote a book about how to be a Christian in 7 days. You can become a Christian in 7 seconds. You cannot know Jesus maybe in 70 years. You can cast out demons and do great acts in the name of Jesus and not know him. He makes that clear. So someone wrote a real quick comment, and I think they meant to be rude. Well, no, I know they did. Just listen to the phraseology. What is the purpose of this video other than content slop? And this guy's handle is ex-Christian or ex-Christ and then a number. Ex-Christ, then a number. Cross of Christ, then a number. And I wrote back and said, wow, thank you for asking. The purpose of this video is to give people an example of how we can know others by their fruits, of how we can check all spirits, including checking our spirits, our state of being with the Holy Spirit. How we can make sure that we're not responding to someone with jealousy or anger or lists of grievances, but we're being properly discerning. And the reason I did this about Russell Brand is he's very famous. He's released a book that will probably be a bestseller, How to Be a Christian in 7 Days. We should check his fruits. And I wrote back and said, incidentally, may I ask the purpose of your handle? And he wrote back and said, I'm a Christian. Okay, fair enough. So you have a handle that portrays that. What's interesting to me is God answered me, at least on that day, that, well, here's a video that's going to do really well, Russell Brand. Maybe, Todd, you need to be calling out false teachers like this, not false teachers within the church. Okay. It happened on that same day that a young man approached me in the gym who knows the podcast. And he learned about me through the series we did on Nick Fuentes. Not on Nick, but really reaching out to the viewers of Nick Fuentes and trying to understand these young men, because I think Nick Fuentes is a false teacher. And we checked his fruits. And that young man is a Christian nationalist, full steam Christian nationalist. Fuentes, I don't know what Fuentes is, but this kid in the gym said, young man in the gym said, I am a full-on Christian nationalist. So we unpacked that together. I disagree firmly with many of the views. He follows Doug Wilson, a pastor with whom I have great disagreement. But again, this bore fruit. Wow, this young man came to watch me because of the series we did talking to Fuentes followers. He's still engaging. He was a great delight in this debate. Real gentlemanly, super well-read young man. Really fun to talk to. So all of this has caused me to look at celebrities who are professing Christianity. And it's not because, as some people said in the YouTube section, oh, you just want to tear them down. No. No. I want to believe that they are serving the Lord Jesus. I know God's always working, and man, maybe he's really working in Hollywood. So let's you and I together think of some ways we can biblically keep in mind that we're still being sanctified. Always, that's an ongoing forever process until heaven. But since these people are famous and young people and even middle-aged people are going to be persuaded by them, let's together be discerning. So actress Nicole Kidman reveals that she attends church and attended church before she went to the Oscars.
How do you prepare for something of that?
Mike Amiri, the great designer.
Well, this is crazy, but I will go to church.
We love him.
In the morning.
That's not crazy. Why is that crazy?
No, because we'll be going, squeezing it in before all the...
Why is that important for you?
Centers me. It's what I do on a Sunday.
Yes.
You do?
I do.
So, there you go.
Okay. Well, have fun. I can't wait to see.
So, I'll do that, and then I will do hair and makeup and a bit of, you know, prepping and prepping and... And then kind of, it's very early tomorrow. They've moved it up a bit, right?
So she attends church. Sweet. Good. Great first step. And for checking the spirits here, she said, church in the morning, that's what I do. And then someone added their commentary, this is what matters, not awards, Jesus Christ. Is attending church, does that make you a Christian? Now, again, you can become a Christian in about 7 to 14 seconds. Truly have sorrow for his sin. Dear Lord Jesus, I am so sorry. I have sinned against you. I feel sick about it. Please save me. I cannot save myself. You are the Savior of mankind. I confess it in my mind and my mouth. Please, Lord, become my king. Forgive me. I repent. Please, please be king of my life. Boom. If you mean it sincerely, you truly mean it, you're going to be saved. You're going to show that in ways. In the evangelical church, we view baptism as a demonstration of this. Other churches believe that baptism is necessary to complete being saved. That it's a necessary act. In my church, we don't believe that. Something you should do, that we have people do, that we ask them to do, because Jesus asked people to do it, and Jesus himself was baptized. We try to do everything Jesus did. So is attending church, if we're checking people's fruits, that's a vote on their side, for sure. How do they act in church? Is there a lot of grumbling? Why does it have to be so early? Why is the band so loud? Why do they have all that smoke on stage? Why are the seats hard? Now, is that a joyful spirit? Does that sort of behavior belong in the list of the fruits of the Spirit? Because I guarantee Jesus was plenty uncomfortable on the cross. And that is something that we in the evangelical church would refer to as a baby Christian behavior. What's in it for me? I don't like the 10:30 service. They have that different singer. I like the 8 o'clock service. They've got that first singer. That first singer is so good. Are we going to church this weekend? Who's preaching? Because if it's that one guy with the orange shirt, I can't stand him. But man, I like that senior pastor. He's funny. You can be saved, but you can be saying, what's in it for me? You're a consumer. Did Jesus say, all heaven, all power in heaven and earth has been granted to me, therefore come to church and critique the bands? No, he said, go and make disciples. So we can look at Nicole Kidman. It's a tiny little clip. What a fantastic thing she's coming to church. What a great way for God to show his face to her. But when there's so many celebrities suddenly professing Christianity and people like Russell Brand writing books about it, we as spiritual leaders in our home owe it to ourselves to be biblical in how we check their fruits. Not here to condemn, absolutely welcome to the body of Christ, here to inform. Matthew McConaughey told producer Rick Rubin why he also needs to go to church each Sunday.
Tell me about your spiritual life.
I'm happiest and most connected spiritually when all day, when I'm praying with my eyes open, when this is a prayer, when every exchange is a prayer. But truthfully, what do I also need?
Yeah.
Come Friday, I kind of need Sunday morning. I need that church. I need to go to that place to do inventory on the loved ones in my life, to do inventory on my week, to roll through my mental Rolodex and see the people I love in their truest form and just be like, I wish that for them. And then end on me. Mm-hmm. End on an image of myself, not Instagram happy, not just where I am. And if I can grasp that image, that's my final. So let's take that to the week. But I need that Sunday. I need that ritual where I'm forced into going at the most, I'm number two. You know what I mean? I need that humility.
So praise God, he goes to church. Same thing that we talked about with Nicole Kidman. I didn't hear Jesus' name in that. He hinted at the end there, Matthew McConaughey said, at most, I am second. But I'm forced to wonder in that exchange with Rick Rubin, is he ashamed of Jesus? You know, there's a Christian song, I'll Not Be Ashamed of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. And I used to hear that song and think, wow, that's a weird song. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a weird song. How would you be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And yet there are people, and the world rewards this. I know professional athletes who, after they win a big event, no longer say Jesus. They say, I just give all glory to God. Because sponsors and others have told them, hey, look, it's okay to say God, not Jesus. Because Jesus is divisive. But if you say God, Jews are okay, and Muslims are okay, and even most atheists don't care. You didn't say Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is known, identifiable. I think that people can look at Jesus with a sense of shame in themselves. He did that. He braved that. I think even people who are atheists can look and say, he was that brave. So Matthew McConaughey there, if we're checking fruits, again, I need, I attend, I get, I am forced to, and then at the last minute, I'm at most second. I would hear a proclaiming Christian say, Rick Rubin, do you know Jesus? You're asking me why I go to church. Well, all day is prayer. I love that part. This is prayer, all day's prayer. I'm praying with my eyes open. Yes, walking with the Lord. But who? Praying to who, Matthew McConaughey? When my prayers to Jesus go all day long. Rick Rubin, do you know Jesus? See, this isn't an exercise to throw shade at Matthew McConaughey. If you're in the body of Christ, brother, oh my gosh, what a beautiful thing. But it's just to examine the fruits. Writer and radio host Joni Erickson Tada shared an unexpected... Oh, we don't have time for this? So we could check the fruits of a woman named Joni Erickson Tada. I'm sure you've heard her voice. She's been in a wheelchair for many, many years. In 2015, in an interview with Chuck Swindoll in 2015, she explained her unexpected desire to bring her wheelchair to heaven. She's been a quadriplegic since 1967. She's still alive? It's like my friend Dave. Still kicking it. She wanted to bring it because Christ has his scars. And she wanted to honor him. That's a way of knowing the fruits of a woman who I think has spent her life displaying the fruits of the Spirit. Praise God. We'll come back under the Disciples' View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the entire babbling and a personal note here in just a moment. And you can always write to me. You can write to me at, go to my website, thetoddhermanshow.com, or if you prefer, that management at AFR see it, which is great to me. I love them to get feedback. Comments at AFR.net. I got just one email here from Richard. It's too long to read on the show. It's a reference to an article about it's okay to be a Christian American. And he writes, it's okay to be a Christian American. Absolutely. Stephen Wolfe, I sped read this, and I'll read more of it later. I hope I didn't come across in any way saying it's not okay to be a Christian American. I would simply point out that Jesus is the king of the universe, not of any particular nation. He's not God of America, which would be a demotion. He's not in need of a demotion and not going to accept one. And that our allegiance should first of all and foremost be to Christ, and then our family and our country for sure, so long as our country is obeying the words of Christ, we can have allegiance there. So, man, I don't have any challenge with that. We'll get to the tower babbling here in just a second. This is a quick cleanup item. The North Carolina school superintendent was caught saying kindergartners should see men in BDSM leather making out with one another.
Well, they explained to me a book titled Granddad's Pride that openly depicts two men in BDSM outfits making out is currently available in your elementary schools. So I'm saying, will imagery allowed or not? Dr. Price, you're looking at the picture. Got guys in kick outfits.
I'm not sure what I'm looking at.
You're not sure what you're looking at, but you're okay if your kindergarten's looking at. Is this your goal? Is this what you want kindergartens to fourth grade? I mean, is this the goal? Is this the curriculum? Is this the studies that you want Chapel Hill Carville Schools known for?
I don't understand what the challenge is. I see a pride flag, I see community, I see two couples who appear to be in a loving relationship. They're not breaking any laws, they're not hurting anyone. That's certainly something a child may see in their community. So I'm not sure, you know, what the challenge is there.
Dr. Price, children are being subjected to this field. This is a hill you want to die on, the Democrats want to die on, indoctrinating young children. I wish you the very best.
I don't think he wishes them the very best. BDSM, bondage and discipline, dominance and submission, and sadism and masochism. Yeah, it's hurting another or having another hurt you as a form of sexual pleasure. It is probably very near symptomatic of a psychosis that you have tied physical pain and sexual pleasure together in one thing. And this is something to be shown. So if you encounter something in life, it should be shown in schools without context or in a book that promotes it. Now, we are seeing the very beginning in some cities and the mid-stage in others of an experiment with life without God. Now, God is there. He's the God of the universe. He's unchanging, unchangeable. He's accessible. He will put on the armor of Christ. He will help you wear Christ if you have to live in one of these cities. But we are watching life without God in some of these cities. I was just reading about in Seattle. They had a press conference. The new mayor, who legitimately, this isn't pretending, it's not hyperbolic, I'm not exaggerating. Mayor of Seattle is her first paid job. She's 43. Her first paid job is mayor of Seattle. She was giving a press conference. And at that press conference, there were gunshots. And thank God everyone's okay. There were a couple of gunshots. Some glass was blown out. The building near her was hit. And she came out, this woman who is a committed China model communist, who wants all drugs legalized, cops defunded, no youth prisons, no youth jails, all of the things. Her office issued a statement that they cannot allow this to become the new normal. This happened at a place called Yesler Terrace. Yesler Terrace has the following features: open air drug dealing of fentanyl, meth, cocaine, and heroin, open air taking of methanol, fentanyl, heroin, and cocaine, open air sex trafficking. For 30 or more years, it has been known to be a gang headquarters with fights over crypts and blood offshoots, not to mention now the new Honduran and Russian gangs that are there. They are sponsored by Russia, Chinese Communist Party, Honduras, etc., warring over drug territories. That's been known for the past 15 years. When I lived about three blocks from Yesler Terrace, one of two white people in that entire neighborhood, A, I made incredible friends. B, I learned that black people want their kids to be safe, and that this big difference we make with ourselves is much more about income than it is anything like skin color. But in that neighborhood, I was kidnapped by a guy who was camping out my car with a pistol, his girlfriend in back, smoking a crack pipe. I was just not paying attention. Stupid, mistake I'll never make again. There was a man dead in my elevator, killed in a drive-by shooting, who had a young kid I'd gotten to know because I'd talked to him in the laundry room. He was five. The police were in the elevator looking at his body. And a young kid, probably 14 or 15 years old, tried to rob me of my $20 I had in my hand for pizza. I saw people walking down the streets carrying TVs and stereos. I heard shootings probably every other night. Everybody knew that the store up the street, that the guys hung outside out there, they were gangsters. It's been this way forever. And this is before they started kicking God out of the equation. And Katie Wilson, who's never held a job in her life, is the mayor of Seattle. It's her first job, says, we can't allow this to become the new normal. You will know them by her fruits. They're fruits. So this school superintendent in North Carolina saying, well, if kids see a thing, we should promote it in school. And Katie Wilson saying, we can't let gunshots in Seattle become the new normal. Amazing. And yet predictable, life without God. He's there. They can bring him back. He's in the lives of believers for sure. And he will return as judge. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing these supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents The Tower of Babbling.
Now we know that the vaccines work well enough that the virus stops with every vaccinated person.
Three sound bites in today's Tower Babbling. That's almost always the case that we have three of them. Occasionally, a bonus one sneaks in. First sound bite here. This is back in 2020 when Dr. Mandy Cohen said that clinicians should test until their patient supposedly has COVID-19.
We're going to make sure we're getting good information for patients. To any clinicians out there, fellow doctors, use your best clinical judgment. If the test is wrong and you know that person has COVID-19, send another test or just tell them you have COVID-19. Please stay isolated. Use your best clinical.
If you test with a PCR test, test again, but this time turn up the cycle rate. You turn it up above 30, you're going to find COVID. And if you still don't, just tell them they have it. Wow, man, that's some good medical advice, isn't it? That's all about being an ethical doctor, Dr. Mandy Cohen. Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. This woman tried an unorthodox tactic when dealing with the pro-child mutilation school board.
Sophia and I, Heather Fletcher, identify as a Board of Education member, and my pronouns are I won. Okay? I'm ready to get to work. Let's get to work. We're going to have to see this stuff down. Oh, really? Why? Is this not correct? Can I not just be anything I want to be? Can I not just be a man if I want to be? Can I not just be a
transphobe
if I want to be?
I love that so much. She's a parent, citizen, school board meeting. She goes behind the dais. She sits down. She has her own nameplate. And she says, I identify as a school board member. Therefore, I am one. And the school board that affirms that a boy is a girl. Well, you can't do that. Why? Love that very much. Next soundbite. Last one in today's Tower Babbling. They're trying to make him the hero of the left. This is Hassan Parker in a New York Times podcast defending the murder of the United Healthcare CEO.
Engels wrote about the concept of social murder. And Brian Thompson, as the United Healthcare CEO, was engaging in a tremendous amount of social murder, the systematized forms of violence.
Now, I do not ever want this to happen. May this man live a long life. May he have an opportunity to come to Christ. But something tells me that if someone was, God forbid, murdering Hassan Parker wouldn't suddenly become okay with it if the guy said, I think you committed social murder. Something tells me that Hassan Parker wouldn't say, well, yeah, you know what? You're right. I'm sorry. Go ahead and kill me. But then again, part and parcel of communism is the rules are for thee, not for me. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
I want to be clear that, like, law enforcement isn't to prevent crime. Law enforcement solves crime, okay? That is what they are supposed to do. They are supposed to solve crimes, not necessarily prevent them from happening.
That was the Tower of Babbling on A Disciple's View.
That's some solid reasoning. That lady's given that a lot of thought. That's solid. It's Jasmine Crockett. On a personal note, I mentioned this earlier. I have a picture of our family at Gettysburg, the battlefield. When we lived in Washington, D.C., we took a day trip to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. And I love this picture so much, and I wish I could relive it. I'm holding my little girl who was in kindergarten. And she's happily in my arms. Her head is on my left shoulder. I'm facing away from the camera, which is the other reason I love it. Can't see my face. And her head is resting on my shoulder. And we're overlooking the battlefield. I can't remember if we were on a tower. I just know we were high above part of the battlefield. And my daughter has a content smile on her face. Not smile, just a look of contentment. And it was not always a content day. It was an interesting day. But the beauty of children came out in that in a remarkable way. We started by going to a museum that had some kind of live action figures. There was a moving statue, as it were, of President Lincoln giving his speech. And then some live action figures of soldiers. And what life would have been like at that time and kind of how a musket fired and cannons. It was well done. I don't remember what we bought there. We bought a couple of things. And then we went to the battlefield proper. And we started by seeing a demonstration, a reenactment of one of the small skirmishes. And that was amazing to watch the guys do this. We walked through an army campground. And you could stop and talk to the soldiers and ask them what they were doing. And at one point, my little girl asked a guy, what are you doing? He said, I'm making shoes for our horses. And she laughed and she said, shoes. And I said, well, they're not shoes like you and I would think of, but maybe the soldier will show you. He said, yeah, let me show you how this we do this. And so he shooed one of the horses and she was really afraid. Does it hurt him? He said, no, he can't feel this in his hoof. Watch. And then the horse didn't feel it. And we walked up to a point when we were getting ready to leave. And there was a picture of dead bodies stacked. Right when we were leaving, there was a photograph of, I don't know how many bodies, but they were stacked body on body into a mound of bodies. I guess 100 men. And it was a reminder, where you stand now was this pile of bodies. And it's in that copper tone, sort of black and white copper tone image. And my daughter said, are they dead ones? And I said, yeah, honey, they're dead. And she said, do they know they're dead? And I said, that's a really good question. And if they're with God, they know that they died. They know that. And then she said this to me, were they daddy ones? I said, yeah, honey, some of them were daddies. And some of them were sons and brothers. And what we can do is pray that we never see anything like that again. I suggest the trip at age-appropriate times. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, because we believe, we speak, because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the path of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations until God grants us permission to speak again. Now, there may His peace extend over you. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman, and this has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.